Good morning again. So good to be with you all, and as always, to be opening up God's book and reading from His Word together. What a privilege we have, brothers and sisters. Please grab your Bible and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Perfect. We have a new picture we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's start with just thinking about an illustration again. You've probably seen this. I know I have seen this a number of times. A little person will grow up watching football on TV, and they'll just get really excited about this quarterback, and man, he can just complete every pass. And so they'll decide, I think I could be just like him. And so they'll go out back every evening after school, and they'll be passing that football, playing football until dark, because they want to be just like that quarterback. And I've seen it with teachers too. You know, a young girl, young guy, they'll just have a rough life. But at school, they've got this teacher that loves them, thinks about them, is rooting for them, just pouring into their lives. And so they decide, I'm going to become like my teacher. And they head off to school and they study hard and they come back and change more people's lives. And you and I are on a similar journey. We want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the journey that we're on in Colossians right now is we are just trying to get a vivid picture of what He is like. And the more clear we can make our picture, the easier it'll be for us to dream about how we can be like Him. So that's the journey that we're on. Let's read our new picture for this morning. The verse for today is Colossians 3, verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Please pray together with me. Lord in heaven, we just thank you so much for this time to be together today. Lord, thank you that we are not here alone. Thank you that I am not standing up here alone. But Lord, you are with us in all of your glory. And so, Father, we just turn our attention to you right now. We thank you for your great salvation that we've just sung about, how you have gripped each of our lives and changed us, Lord. So now, as we look at these pictures of what it is like to put on the new self, we just pray again that you will be our teacher, Father. Help us to see clearly, to vividly envision these things, and then with your help to go after them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so go back with me to the very beginning of this verse. It says, beyond all these things. The New King James actually translates that, above all these things. So who would have thought that there's more to do beyond or above verses 12 and 13? When you look at those two verses, the journey we were on the last 2 weeks, it's easy to think, wow, can I even get there? But here we're asked to go beyond them. Let's review briefly. 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And we talked about how compassion is where it all starts. We see that person in front of us, we see that need, and we feel for them. And so we put on these things, these other things listed here, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, to become a blessing to them. Then last week we looked at verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And we talked about how that looks for the Lord. He not only forgives us, but then he wants us to be greatly successful. And so we have to add that to our picture of forgiveness. Not just to forgive and hope we never see him again, but to forgive in such a way that we really desire their success. So what could be beyond all of that? Of course, the Lord Jesus is the one that's beyond it all, right? He is so much more. We just need to keep in mind that Jesus is so much more than we could imagine. Think about this. Even before your repentance, even while you were still lost, maybe upset with the Lord, maybe rejecting the Lord, just headed your own way, even then, he loved you so much that he came to earth. He said, I cannot let this one go. I just love him too much. I love him. And so he went to the cross in our place even before our repentance, even before we turned to him. And that's, of course, what John 3:16 is all about. You know, you probably know the verse. Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And that was before any of us gave our lives to him. He loved us that much. He chose us. That's what his love is like. I'll just read you this verse. This is from the Song of Solomon, okay, back in the Old Testament. Chapter 8, verse 7 talks about this kind of love. It says, many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. In other words, you can't buy it. There's no way you can buy it. And you cannot quench it. When you quench something like a fire, you put it out, right? So you throw on the bucket full of water and the fire goes out. Maybe if it's still smoking, you keep pouring on gallon after gallon after gallon until the smoke is gone. But you can't do it with love. It is unquenchable. And that is how we see that Jesus is more than just these other things like compassion and forgiveness. He is so much more. So here we go. Beyond all these things, put on love. Beyond compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, even beyond this grace of forgiveness, God's asking us to put on love. What in the world is it? Unfortunately, in the English language, it's a little bit hard to understand. Because when you say love, you never can tell what someone's thinking. They might think you mean something entirely different. Fortunately, in the Greek language, it's a little bit easier. They have four different words for love. Now, not all of them are used in the New Testament, but I'd like us to talk about the four different Greek words for love just to help us get a picture, help us remember what this thing is like that we're trying to put on. The first Greek word for love is eros. Eros. It means passionate or romantic love, sexual attraction. We get our word erotic from the Greek word eros. And in Greek culture, eros was the god of love. Okay, but that's not the word that's used in this verse. The second Greek word is storge, and that means familial love, like love between family members. Love for your daughter, your son, or your mom, or your dad, etc. But again, that's not the word that's used in this verse. The third Greek word for love is philia, And it means friendship or affectionate regard, mutual respect, loyalty, goodwill. You have a buddy, right? You have a good friend. That's philia, I believe is how you pronounce it. But that's not the word that's used in this verse. The Greek word that's used here is agape. Agape, and it means the unconditional love of God. Selfless love that seeks the best of others. God's love for humanity, sometimes referred to as the highest form of love. Evidently, the Greek word agape was very rarely ever used until Jesus came on the scene. And then it started being used and it sort of took on this whole new meaning. And it's, of course, the same Greek word that's used in John 3:16. It's the kind of love that God has for us, his creation, that caused him to send his son to the earth. So how do we picture this? How do we understand this? It's a difficult concept to wrap our minds around. I have a story I'd like to share with you that I hope maybe will at least stretch your thinking a tiny bit when it comes to the idea of love. There was this couple, they'd been married for about 6 years, and the wife was really not that happy in the relationship because she lived with a very overbearing husband. He said he loved her, but he was just kind of controlling. So every day before he would leave for work, he would leave her a long checklist of things that needed to be done. And he was serious because when he came home, he was going to go over the list and see if she had accomplished everything. And if she didn't, he was very overbearing about it. He would get upset with her. I don't know what kind of language he used, but he would scold her for not living up to the standard. Well, after some time, as it would happen, he died. And so several years later, this young woman married again. Only this time her marriage turned out to be very different. She married this guy who just deeply loved her. Not only said he loved her, but she could tell it in his actions, in the way he served her, in the way he cared for her. And so she just loves life now. She's just really enjoying being married. Things are going so differently. And she's doing everything she can to support her husband. One day, she is doing some work around the house, cleaning some things out. She gets out some old suitcases, and she's going through them, and she pulls out this piece of paper. And she finds, to her surprise, it is one of the lists that her first husband had given her that she needed to fulfill for the day. And so she just, I don't know if why, but for memory's sake or something, she's reading through the list, and she almost cannot believe it because she realizes she is doing everything on that list plus more for her second husband just because she loves him that much. And I think this, hopefully, this at least helps me get a little bit more of a picture. You know, the Bible says we love because he first loved us. It is the love of God that changes us, that causes us to want to love him in return and to want to love one another. So this is the kind of love we are trying to envision today. We want to get the best picture we can, although I know it's hard to get a perfect one. We want to get the best picture we can so we can dream about being like the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like us to do something else. I don't feel like I could leave today without us going through part of 1 Corinthians 13 together. So if you would turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There are several places in the Bible where we get these different descriptions of love. And this is one of the just very descriptive one, very beautiful picture of what love is like. So we're going to go through the first 8 verses, then I'd just like to comment briefly on each verse. So start with me in verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So the picture here is that love is greater than the silver tongue. Love is greater than the perfect words. I can tell my wife 25 times a day that I love her. But if I am not actually living in a way that shows her that I love her, well, I believe this verse says I'm like a noisy gong going around the house bonging on something. Verse number 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. In other words, love is greater than having all the answers. Love is even greater, this verse says, than having enough faith to move a mountain. I mean, think about it. If I can just move a mountain and I don't have love, I might move the mountain that's in front of me right in front of you. And that wouldn't be your picture of love, right? Go on to verse 3. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So this verse seems to be saying that love is even greater than sacrifice and service. If I am not, you know, if I'm doing those things selfishly, if I'm not acting out of love. That's why it's such a clear picture when Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, listen, when you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet. In other words, they weren't really loving the poor. They were loving themselves. They were giving for the accolades and the praise that they thought they might receive because of their gift. So genuine love is caring for that other person. Love is what Christ gave us. Love is what brought him to the earth and caused him to give his life on Calvary's cross. I believe this chapter is saying that love is actually the greatest gift. If you go back to the verse before it, verse 31 of chapter 12, it says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. He's been talking about gifts like, you know, prophecy and miracles of healing and things like that. He says, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way. And that's when he starts talking about love. I believe it to be the greatest gift. We talked last week about how I think some of those ideas in verse 12 flow out of compassion. You know, it's when you see that person and that need in front of you and it stirs you, that you have the patience that you need, the kindness that you need. I believe maybe even all these other gifts flow out of love. Keep going. Look at verse 4. Chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. So we see there in that verse that a lot of the other gifts seem to be encapsulated in love. Remember what Jesus said. He said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, loving your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on to say that if you do that, you've fulfilled all the law and the prophets. So they're all wrapped up in the love of God. That's why we treat one another the way that we do. Go on to verse 5. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Wow. Who lives like that? What a picture. What a picture. You know, I heard about, I'm on a couple stories this morning. I heard about this other couple. They got married and they knew how marriage, you know, could sometimes be hard. They saw a lot of divorces around them. And they said, we got to do something. We got to do something to make this last. So they came up with this plan. They said, let's each write down 10 things that we can't be upset with one another about. Okay, you know, like maybe it'll be your pet peeves or something. So write down 10 things and if you accidentally do them, well, I just have to forgive you. It's just automatic. So they made their list. They wrote down their 10 things, especially this wife who's telling the story. She took her list. She folded it all up, put it in some box up in her cabinet. And it wasn't very long before she got everything, before she forgot everything that was on the list. So here's what she would do. Whenever her husband would do something, she would just say, it's a good thing it's on the list. No matter what it was. And they got along fabulously. Fascinating, isn't it? This verse says, does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's actually incredible. That we could love one another that way. Verse 6, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. I think this one is possibly not understood in our current day culture. Because often in our current day culture, the idea is that if you love me, you will accept me just as I am. If you do not accept me and everything about me, you don't love me. And wow, what a misunderstanding of love that is. Think about it. Is it loving for me to watch someone destroy their life through some sort of sin? Because sin is so destructive. It is so destructive. It wrecks our lives. Is it loving for me to watch someone do that without ever saying a word? I say no. I say that is not real love. That sometimes the loving thing to do is to correct someone. Sometimes the most loving thing to do is to help them see they're on a dangerous path. To help them see that they are far from God. To help them see that they need a Savior. And so this verse says, it does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Go on with me to verse 7 and 8. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What a picture. Maybe you already know this. I think some people are surprised the first time that they hear this. But, you know, for many years, God has sometimes been called the great hound of heaven. He's called that because he just will not give up his pursuit of lost sinners. Like Jesus said, the 99 may be in the fold, but he's going out in search of that lost sheep. So he is sometimes called Great Hound of Heaven, and he will not give up. He will not give up. Now, it is possible, and it happens all too often, for mankind to go on until the day they die having rejected the Savior. But it is not because God gave up. He pursues us, loves us, and offers us this gift of salvation until the day we die. And brothers and sisters, I think this verse points it out so clearly. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures. Excuse me. All things. God endures all things because he passionately loves us and does not want us to be lost. That's why the Bible says that he has not returned yet and straightened out this mess of a planet, because he is patient toward us, not willing for any to perish, but wanting all to come to repentance. What incredible pictures of love this chapter has for us. But there's one more thought I'd like you to look at with me. If you would turn back to Colossians chapter 3 and look at how the verse ends. Colossians 3 verse 14 again. It says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now, the New King James translates that the bond of perfection. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. If you were to actually translate it as completely literally as possible, it would say, put on love, which is the perfect bond, period. And the word bond there, the Greek word there, is syndesmos. Syndesmos. It means something that binds things together. It literally is frequently translated ligaments. Okay, your ligaments are what hold your joints together. It's what holds bone to bone. So this verse could be translated, put on love, which is the perfect ligament. And I think it's such a beautiful picture for us. Because think about your joints. Think about your knee joint. Okay, there's like, I don't know how many bones it is exactly. I'm not a doctor or anything. But there's probably like three things down there. You know, you've got the ball, and you've got the lower part of your leg and the upper part of your leg, and they're not securely attached to one another, right? Because then they wouldn't be, you couldn't bend it. The only thing holding that together is the ligaments. And it is doing it in the perfect tension. It holds it tight enough together so that your joint doesn't fly apart and pop out a joint. But at the same time, it doesn't hold it too tight. Right? It allows for movement. And I think this is such a beautiful picture for us about love. That we are held together by God's love this way. That there's still enough room for movement. There's room for you and I to be different. There's room for you and I to have different gifts, to have different likes and dislikes. There's even room for us to make mistakes, to sometimes accidentally hurt one another, to sometimes, God forbid, even maybe on purpose hurt one another. But if we are bound together by the love of God, it being the perfect ligament, can still hold us together. And I believe that's God's intention for us. I believe that's why this verse says, put on love, which is the perfect ligament, the perfect bond. So brothers and sisters, here's the goal. This is where we're at, right? Vividly envision it. As we go through each of these verses, build your picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ is like. Think about what he went through for me, for you, so that we could be forgiven. What can we do for one another? How can we love one another? Please pray together with me. Dear Lord in heaven, we just worship you today again. We thank you for this incredible concept, word, principle, character quality of love. Lord, how we want to be changed by it. You said beyond all these things, put on love. Lord, help us, change us by this, I pray. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen.